This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, join Ira Flatow on the next Science Friday for a discussion of ecology's new frontier, the urban ecosystem. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. And on Monday, Lynn Neary will be in this chair because in about 20 minutes, I'm off on vacation for three blessed weeks. Like most years, we're headed for an idyllic spot near Cape Cod, but maybe we should reconsider. There's a running joke on the staff here that starts every Memorial Day when we hear that half the guests we're looking for are unavailable because they're on vacation in Tuscany. Well, if you've been listening for a while, you know we've been asking you to email us your dream vacation destination. In a few minutes, fantasy travel specialist Don George of Lonely Planet will join us to discuss your suggestions. And it's not too late to email us, TOTN@npr.org, or you can give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. But first, maybe we should consider dumping the lobster and the corn and switch to calamari and risotto. Maybe I should head to the guest-rich environment of Tuscany.
Ah, Signore Conan, buonasera. Che piacere rivederla qui al ristorante al dente. Va bene se stasera le metto a tavolo con il primo ministro Tony Blair e la sua moglie? Tutti gli accademici in vacanza sono seduti lì, vicino alla cucina. I scrittori però vanno sempre diretto al bar. Strano, eh? Oggi come antipasto abbiamo fiori di zucca fritto.
Oh, it sounds like it'd be worth it for the food alone. Of course, the reason I've never been to Tuscany or any other part of Italy is that National Public Radio would never send me there. Even when I was the bureau chief in London and traveled from Rostock to Reykjavik, Rome was out of bounds. Our reporter there was much too good to need any help, a fact I've deeply resented ever since. But, of course, on arrival, I would definitely stop to visit with my friend and colleague, Silvia Poggioli, who joins us now on the phone from Rome. And, Silvia, good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Neil. It's a pleasure.
Now, I understand you're speaking with us from the old Roman fish market. Can you take us on a stroll through it? What are we seeing as we walk?
Right now, under a big, large arch, marble arch, which is one of the ruined parts of the ruins of this old temple to Juno and Jupiter, and it was in the Middle Ages, it was the fish market until about the last century. We have a big white marble slab here where they would cut up the fish, and if fish was longer than that marble slab, it's about, I don't know, it's almost a yard long, the head and the fins would be cut and given to the poor people. And then right on the other side here, there's a place called the Theater of Marcellus. It's a beautiful theater. The construction was started by Julius Caesar, and then it was fortified in the Middle Ages, and then on the top you see some modern apartments. And right now there's a guy with a big, at the foot of the theater, there's a guy with a grand piano, and he's performing music for a very select group of people. This is where I am right now.
I'm desperately envious, Sylvia. I know it's getting on, it's pretty late in the evening there. Is it dark yet, or is that wonderful evening light still there?
No, it's dark, but it's well lit, let's put it that way. All the monuments of Rome are very well lit.
So if I, after stopping off for a fabulous lunch for you near the old Roman fish market, if I then went on to Tuscany, am I right to suspect that you can't take five steps without tripping over a famous writer or a politician?
That's absolutely true. There are different parts of Tuscany that are kind of almost like reservations for different nationalities. There's this German Social Democrats have an area. The British, Tony Blair often goes to Tuscany to visit. The British actually refer to Chianti as Chianti Shire. But what I would suggest, Neil, if you go, you follow the itinerary of the slow cities. This is part of the slow food movement, and there are a lot of slow cities in Tuscany. And the purpose is to fight the eat-and-run lifestyle of fast food, and these towns, there's a lot of, they create a sort of leisurely urban living. And, of course, the emphasis on beautiful sights, beautiful sounds, and beautiful food.
And that alone, as we suggested earlier, is enough to make it incredibly popular. is there anywhere I should avoid?
What you should avoid, I would say, is Venice in the summer. It's just so overcrowded. It's elbow to elbow walking along the, you know, along the sides of the canals and the bridges. It's far, far too, and it's over, very, very expensive. Another place, another really, really nice place, there are lots of beautiful islands that are not very well known outside of Italy, especially a couple of islands off of Sicily. I'm a big fan of Sicily. I think it's one of the greatest places for both food and beauty and hospitality, and you have all of the history of the Mediterranean there, from ancient Greece to the Arabs to the Normans and the Baroque. It's quite an extraordinary place to visit.
Well, Sylvia, we've been holding you up from your dinner engagement, and we wanted to thank you very much for that and appreciate your speaking with us today. It's been a brief Italian vacation, but a very pleasant one.
Thank you, Neil, and buone vacanze in my native Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you. NPR Sylvia Pagioli joining us on the line from Rome. So what is your dream vacation location? Call us with a mouth-watering description at 800-989-8255 or take our email challenge and send us your dream vacation spot and why. The email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now from his office in Oakland, California, is global travel editor for Lonely Planet Publications, Don George. And good to have you back on the program.
Hello, Neil. It's great to be back.
Don, like me, I know you're working today. Is there someplace you would rather be?
Almost anywhere. I tell you, I would actually love to be, the place I really want to go is Machu Picchu.
In Peru. And why that? This is incredibly high up in the mountains, this city, you can't believe it's there, right?
Exactly, and it's just the remnants of an extraordinary civilization way out in the middle of nowhere. It's quite a hike to get there, but once you get there, from everything I've read, your life changes before your eyes, and so that's where I want to be.
Well, we got this from David Nassetier in Berkeley. He wants to visit St. Helena in the South Atlantic to experience la vie quotidienne of an isolated society and explore the vestiges of Napoleon. Have you ever sent anybody or ever been to St. Helena?
That is an interesting destination. I've never been myself, and I have to say, I don't know anyone who's been there.
I actually do know somebody who's been there. Simon Winchester has been to St. Helena. He wrote a book at one time on the last vestiges of the British Empire, and of course, St. Helena is one of those hugely useful islands.
That's right.
That the British still own.
Well, he's a good friend of mine, and he's never told me about it.
So really?
Next time I see him.
All right, well, we're going to be on our program in the next couple of months when his new book comes out.
Okay.
Anyway, here's one from Natalie Denny. I think my dream summer vacation would have to occur during the Southern Hemisphere's summer. It would be a cruise from South America to Antarctica. Mm-hmm. I've heard of a cruise. It's educational, featuring biologists and lectures about the islands and animals of Antarctica. This sounds remote and relaxing, two qualities of a fabulous vacation. How many people can you show pictures of the trip to Antarctica?
Oh, that's wonderful. I think Antarctica is one of those destinations that really grown in popularity, and it's just so purifying. People go there and they get back in touch with something very primal, I think, in that white landscape, and I've heard raves from everybody I know who's been there.
Are there any tourist operations the North Pole?
There are ships that will take you as far as you can get to the North Pole. They're icebreakers for the most part.
So you can go to one of those, either Russian or Canadian islands, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think you can also arrange to visit some of the research stations up there.
So summer and fabulous Spitsbergen, perhaps. I don't know. Here's one we got from Gabriel Garcia in Sacramento. When discussing an idyllic vacation, people frequently mention a destination by the sea. Understanding the plight of a slightly more inland people, I would visit the magical town of Ronda, a whitewashed hamlet in sun-drenched southern Spain. It stands on a towering plateau in the mountains of Malaga province and is famous throughout Spain for the plunging river gorge which divides the medieval from the 18th century parts of the town. It possesses Spain's largest and oldest bull ring. Ronda stands on a mighty promontory which made it impregnable to the Christian armies until the very last years of the reconquest from the Moors. Though this is not tropical, it possesses the beauty, history, and imagination of places only known in fairy tales, and yet it is a fairy tale I have yet to visit. Ronda is my dream vacation.
Wow.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Sounds like he's already been there.
Sounds like he's a member of the Chamber of Commerce. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Fred now, who joins us on the line from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I love your show, and I love how you segued from the Arab comedians into vacations, mainly because I would love to go to Lebanon. I'm Lebanese. I'm an actor. I haven't gotten to the comedic part yet, but I was over there during the Civil War and for several years afterwards, and brought my wife over from Lebanon. And it's has a rich relationship with the Tuscan part of Italy. In fact, over the centuries, the Tuscans are considered, you know, very close to the Lebanese, and it's beautiful Mediterranean weather and ocean and all that.
Of course, Beirut used to be the called the Paris of the Middle East.
The Paris, the Hollywood, the Switzerland, you know, it's the place where everything goes on, and it's also the oldest democracy in the Middle East.
It's also a little bullet pocked in a few places.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was there, as I said, you know, just before the Gulf War and after the Gulf War. And, you know, I saw, you know, the ruin from, you know, American military equipment that had been sold to various countries. But it's still, the people, you know, rebounded so much and have rebuilt it so much. I mean, a good example of a funny thing that happened is when some of the Israeli bombs fell in certain parts of West Beirut, it exposed the ancient Roman baths. And it allowed, you know, for this this kind of archaeology to go on, and all this gold was found down there as well.
Okay, well, Fred, thanks very much. There's an unusual suggestion. Donna, not a lot of people, you know, offer go on to Beirut on vacation these days.
They don't, but, you know, I think it's actually great because I know someone who was just there who had an extraordinarily wonderful time, felt very safe the entire time. People were extremely hospitable to her. And as you know, Neil, I was in Jordan last fall, and I had the same experience where people were incredibly kind and friendly to me. So I think we should put places like Beirut back on our maps again. I think that's great.
Especially for the more adventurously inclined.
Yes.
Here's one from Laura Mansilla in Northville, Michigan. I've always dreamed of riding horses on the Mongolian plains.
Ooh.
Now that
Ooh.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah, do you have to live in a yurt, and do you have to eat rancid butter, though? That's what, that was the part that always turned me off to those Mongolians.
That's part of the authenticity of the experience. You can't ignore that. Some adventure travel companies offer very comfortable, relatively comfortable tours of Mongolia, and get really, really excited when they describe their tours there. I've not been to Mongolia, but that is on the top of my personal list, too.
Here's one from Janet Nessel Road. I'm preparing to go on my best dream vacation ever, though technically it's a working vacation. Along with five other scientists, I will live underwater at 50 feet below the surface for 10 days in Noah's Aquarius, the only world's only underwater laboratory dedicated to research and exploration off of Key Largo, Florida. Not much can top spending at least 8 hours a day out diving around an incredibly amazing coral reef. And she doesn't add, and getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
That's a good job.
Let's go to Alice, who's with us in her car in Cary, North Carolina.
Hey, Neil.
Hi.
My dream vacation would be to go to the Cloisters at Sea Island, Georgia.
And why there?
Well, we just had our third child, and when I was a child, my mom and dad would leave me with the babysitter and go off for 2 weeks and come back and tell me how wonderful it was. So I've gone to the homestead, and I think it'd probably be a lot like that, where it's all-inclusive, and we could have wonderful meals, and our kids could play at the ocean, and we could have a nanny take care of our child while we ate, because we have one baby and then two big girls.
Uh-huh. So childlessness is it sounding to me like your dream vacation.
No. It would be a vacation, a very nice, fine vacation with my family.
Well, that's...
I couldn't enjoy myself without my family.
Well, thanks very much, Alice, and we appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
And, and where are you actually going on vacation?
Sunset Beach, North Carolina, to a cousin's house, which is amazing. It's wonderful.
Oh, well, that sounds very nice, too.
Well, thank you.
We have one final email, Don. With temps in the 100s and going higher, writes Steve Hay of Modesto, California, send me somewhere cool. Send me to the glaciers of the Inside Passage of Alaska. Send me to Patagonia, where it's cold all year round, especially that it's winter there now. But I'll settle for caving in New Mexico, where the longest caves in the world can be found. Did I win? When do I leave? Well, Steve, you didn't win. I did, and I leave in about 4 minutes. So that's going to be about it. So, Steve, thanks very much for sending the email, and thanks to everybody else as well. And Don George, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Neil. Have a great vacation.
Thank you very much. Don George is global travel editor for Lonely Planet Publications. He was with us from his office in Oakland, California. And we'd also like to thank Amelia Shaw for portraying our Italian waitress. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.